Farmers all over Michigan have been keeping their fingers tightly crossed all spring long and their eyes on the weather forecast. Most Michigan farmers are struggling to recover from 2012, the worst growing season in more than 50 years. That combination of extremely warm weather in March, followed by a hard freeze in April, and then a hot summer drought just crushed farmers, especially fruit farmers. And that's something that hits all of us, because agriculture is the second biggest industry in Michigan. It pumps $37 billion into our economy, at least according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We've discovered that preventative agriculture technology is giving farmers some weapons in their battle to save their crops from hard freeze. Farmers like Don Armach. Don's with River Ridge Produce in Sparta in Kent County in West Michigan. Don, you're nearly through May. Are you letting yourself breathe a little and feel like 2013 will be a better year than 2012?
We think we've got a beautiful crop coming, and we think we're past the point of frost anyhow.
Which was such a disaster in 2012. What do you grow, Don, and how bad was 2012 for you?
Well, we grow apples, sweet cherries, a few tart cherries, and then we have small amounts of strawberries and raspberries and blueberries and a few plums. But the biggest part of our crop is apples. And to give you some idea, we had about 7 to 8% of a crop last season. We really haven't seen anything like that since 1945, and I wasn't alive then, so...
That's jaw-dropping how bad that is.
That wasn't very good. It's tough for the farmers, but it's really tough for the people who work for us, the people who actually get the work done, whether it's in the packing plants or in the growing processes and the harvest. I mean, there was literally... It was very tough to retain people in a number of... Particularly, the migrants had to move on to other areas of the country and other types of work.
So, with fingers crossed that Mother Nature is going to be kinder. When we heard about this preventative agricultural technology, it really caught our interest. It sounds like it's something that really could be a farmer's best friend. What kind of methods are we talking about, and ways that you can invoke technology to protect your crops?
Well, we're talking specifically about frost now. We use a lot of different methods, and most growers use some combination of these methods. Ourselves, we had on Mother's Day, Mother's Day in the following morning, we had a scare. We had temperatures that were projected to be at bud-killing levels, and so we put into play helicopters that we used to fly over our orchards. We have these wind machines that are actually towers with helicopter blades on, or the equivalent of helicopter blades on, that run on an engine, and they spin and help prevent. And we also run trickle irrigation in our orchards to raise humidity levels. The humidity, more humid air tends to hold heat better. So that's a technique. And then a pretty direct method, along with the wind machines and helicopters, it would be that we run micro-sprinklers. Now, the micro-sprinklers are not used to any great extent, but they're pretty effective.
What is a micro-sprinkler?
If you have water capacity to run these, you basically run a sprinkler that covers the orchard floor with water and a fine mist. And that mist, as the water's freezing, it's releasing energy, and you can normally raise your temperatures in the orchard floor and... Most of our orchards today are 9, 10, 12 foot tall, newer plantings, and so usually you can raise your temperatures 3, 4, 5 degrees by utilizing that approach.
And just because I'm not a farmer, and I don't know, how is it that using helicopters and these wind machines help save your crops from frost?
Well, Cindy, I think we all know that heat rises.
Yep.
And the corollary to that is that cold air follows its way down to the lowest level, which in the case of our rolling orchards, they tend to, the cold air tends to move down the slopes into the low-lying areas. And so the heat that's risen, it usually ends up in an area, and we call it an inversion layer. There's a layer, sometimes it's only 20, 30 foot above the orchard floor, but oftentimes it can be considerably higher. and so that warm air sits there in a layer.
Ah.
So these wind machines, as well as helicopters, they literally pull that warm air down and mix it with the cooler air that's down on the orchard surface. And that mixing, usually we figure we can get 3, 4, 5 degrees difference in temperature on the orchard floor by using those technologies. And that can make a huge difference. What happens is if we get, depends on the stage of the bloom and so forth, but generally when you start to come into bloom, if you have 28 degrees,
mm-hmm.
well, that's 4 degrees below freezing, but the trees will manage to fight off the frost down to about 28 degrees. When you get 28 degrees, you usually figure you lose about 10% of the buds, and when it drops down to 24 degrees, you can lose as much as 90% of the crop. And so you can see how critical that 4 degrees can be.
Boy. Now, I'm curious, Don Armach, who is with River Ridge Produce in Sparta, why didn't more Michigan farmers use this technology to protect their crops last year? Why was it such a tremendous disaster when this technology is here? Why didn't more people use it?
Well, actually, we did. The problem was Mother Nature just decided that last year was not going to be a crop year. We had very dry, cold weather. The wind dropped off on the particular night that took the crop. It basically, there was no fighting it with these technologies. We didn't have an inversion layer that amounted to much. So we really, the wind machines and helicopters just weren't effective. It was just one of those seasons where it was going to happen no matter what you did. Now, having said that, where we have wind machines and we have a couple of dozen wind machines, where those were, they protected maybe an acre, 2 acres of the crop. So we had apples underneath those machines, but normally we figure they're good for 10 to 12 acres. So it was just, it was meant to be, I guess.
One for the record books and hopefully not to be repeated. Don, is there any downside to this technology? Is there any reason to, any concern? It's not really tampering with the weather, is it? It's just you're manipulating air masses over your fields.
Right. I'd say, you know, from an environmental standpoint, there's absolutely no downside to this other than you're, of course, burning fossil fuels to do this, but it's kind of inconsequential in the overall scheme of things. A wind machine maybe uses, and I'm saying maybe because there's all different manufacturers and all different sizes, but $30 to $40 worth of fuel an hour. So, you know, they basically run on truck engines, so they're not utilizing a lot of fuel. And helicopters, of course, it depends on the size again, but once again, they're engine-powered. So, but, you know, I'd say the downside from an economic standpoint is they're pretty expensive. A wind machine that covers, you know, hopefully 10 acres, costs roughly $30,000, plus what it costs to operate it. Helicopters, depending on the size you get, I mean, literally, Cindy, you can spend anywhere from $800 to $2,400 an hour for their services. Mm-hmm. So if you have to frost protect for 10 hours, you can spend $22,000 to $24,000 pretty quickly.
Proof positive, as has been the case all through history, that farming is not for the faint of heart, is it, Don?
Well, it takes those people who are able to take on the risk and go to sleep at night.
And it sounds like as we see the end of May and we got past that Mother's Day scare, Mother's Day weekend with the cold snap, it sounds like you're sleeping a little bit better.
I think we're sleeping really well, and we're looking forward to producing a world-class crop of apples.
Save me some apples and some blueberries. There's nothing like Michigan blueberries. Don Armach with River Ridge Produce in Sparta in Kent County in West Michigan. Thanks for talking with us on the program today, Don.
Thank you for having me.